Now, you've probably heard that, language tests came a bit under fire this week with the baffling story of an Irish vet and an Australian ex-newsreader both failing a machine-administered speaking test, even though they were clearly both fluent in English. Now, the pair were seeking Australian work visas, and of course, one of the requirements for this, for better or for worse, is to demonstrate at least a quote-unquote functional level in the English language. Clearly, there seems to be a few questions about how accurately we're assessing this. Now, the pair were actually denied their work visas and nurse registration that they applied for, even though they had degrees in history, politics, and of all things, English. So we've even seen that in human-administered tests, failure is not uncommon. Now, Dr. Rachel Burke is a lecturer in language learning from the School of Education at the University of Newcastle. Dr. Burke, a very good morning.
Thank you. Good morning.
Now, when this news of fluent native English speakers failing English language tests, is this surprising to you?
Well, I guess there's sort of a couple of issues here. One is the kind of mode that's used for the test. So, of course, we have the computer-assisted voice recognition technology being used in that particular test that you talked about. Dr. Louise Kennedy, the vet from Ireland, undertook that. So we have five different tests that are approved by the Department of Immigration and Border Protection to determine English language proficiency for visa eligibility. But that particular test is the only one of the five that uses the computer-assisted voice recognition technology. So basically what that means is that test takers aren't sort of speaking to a person. They're responding to these questions that pop up on the computer screen, and then audio recordings are then made of their responses. And those recordings are marked by like a scoring engine or a scoring system that's been developed to recognise a sort of range of acceptable answers. So issues can arise with speech recognition technology when there are, say, different accents involved, but also differences in pace, delivery of speech, these sorts of different idiosyncrasies that can happen. And I'm speaking broadly here about these kinds of tests and the technology in general, not specifically about the Pearson test.
Okay.
So lots of researchers and linguists have raised concerns about the affordances of current voice recognition technology to account for these differences or idiosyncrasies that happen naturally in the way that we speak.
It does seem unusual to choose to do a machine learning voice recognition test when there are clearly issues around it.
Well, I think, you know, it's sort of everything's moving in that direction, right, with technology and you know, we have in-car navigation systems that use voice recognition technology. So in a sense, there's certainly been a proliferation of this kind of technology. But when we're looking at something as diverse and sort of idiosyncratic, if you like, of the way that humans naturally deliver speech, there can be some issues, yeah.
Is there some clear kind of guidance around what we mean by a functional level of English?
This is actually, you know, a really great question and something that I think we as a nation, when we're looking at things like citizenship and immigration policy, but it's also a global issue, there's a lot of conjecture around this. And that's an overarching question, perhaps above and beyond the notion of what kind of test is what actually do we mean by functional? Here we have, in Dr. Kennedy's case, someone who's been, you know, living and contributing to Australia for a couple of years in a profession that's actually on the list of the short list, if you like. So we have a shortage of vets and you know, contributing meaningfully, and yet she's failed this kind of test. So I think we really need to be asking questions about what sort of standard and type. You know, we don't want to be privileging certain accents over other accents and certain ways of delivering speech. Yeah.
Do we have any insights into how common failure is on these English tests?
So you can actually get the statistics and different test providers also provide reliability statistics. So, yeah, I mean, those statistics are there. And I think most people know of somebody who's been quite surprised that they've actually failed the test. And then you have all these sorts of different websites and people sharing ideas for how to almost hack the test, if you like, certain types of enunciation and maybe exaggerated enunciation and things like that. But certainly it does happen, and we do have statistics, yeah.
And do we know if there's a particular nationality that might perform more poorly than others when it comes to these tests?
Not with these particular type of tests.
Okay.
I mean, we've seen recently, you know, with issues of the citizenship test in its current form, we've seen that people with humanitarian backgrounds, so people with refugee backgrounds, asylum seeker backgrounds, tend to have to sit the test on average 2.4 times, I think the statistic is, whereas people in the streamed, in the skilled stream tend to only have to sit at 1.1 time on average. So we have statistics about that sort of thing, but not particularly a breakdown of first language background. And here we have two examples this just this week that shows that actually it's not necessarily a particular group of speakers.
So how do we go about improving these English tests, do you think, in these scenarios?
I think there's two issues here. I mean, one is thinking about the technology, and again, I'm speaking broadly, not about any particular test. But we've seen earlier this year as well in Germany, the government proposing to use this sort of voice recognition technology for the analysis of country of origin when they're processing applicants for refugee status and they don't have their documentation with them. And a lot of people have come out quite concerned about whether the technology is ready for those sorts of purposes, whether in fact something, as complex as human language actually requires a human interface. Or more kinds of sources of evidence or sources of kind of speaking to that complex issue. That's one part of the issue. The other part of the issue is, of course, what we're actually defining as proficiency, and that's something that we need to have a broader conversation about.
Yeah, it sounds like it very much. I mean, from your perspective, thinking of English, something that is sort of famous for its linguistic quirks, shouldn't this be a human-to-human test?
A lot of people are saying it, in the current sort of situation with the affordances that we do have in current technology, that in fact, that sort of human-to-human interaction. There's an argument that the computer-assisted voice recognition technology takes out human bias, it takes out sort of that subjectivity, and that's certainly something that providers talk about as one of the reasons that they have this sort of technology. And in the case of processing, large numbers of people seeking asylum, there's quite a backlog of that. We have a crisis at the moment, and so people are thinking of using it for efficiency. But with something like English, in this case, English is a global language. It's actually, we talk about Englishes in the plural. There are different varieties, different, all mutually intelligible, but they have their different quirks, they have their different accents. Even in Australia, you can often tell where somebody's from just by the accent and the type of English they speak, all speaking English. So we really need to be asking questions about this sort of stuff.
Big, big questions. Dr. Rachel Burke, thank you for your time this morning.
Thank you so much, Nick. Pleasure.
Thank you. Dr. Rachel Burke is a language learning lecturer from the University of Newcastle, looking at the English language testing system, not just a machine-aided one, but whether we're really answering the questions that need to be answered in that.